This episode of LMPF is brought to you by A Modern Profession. Visit amodernprofession.com for more amazing San Diego podcasts, and also visit all of our social media sites. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at LMPF Podcast. Follow us on Facebook at Life Moves Pretty Fast, or you can email us the old-fashioned way at lmpfpodcast@gmail.com. We're tired of saying it. If you can't find us now, it's on you. Now buckle up, kids. It's time for another episode of Life Moves Pretty Fast.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
I don't remember a whole lot.
Where did you guys... recording right here, right?
When we did the 21st? No,
We were in the studio.
Because Josh, who lives here now, he was moving out of that apartment next door. So that was empty and vacant. So we moved it into like an old bedroom, like one of the bedrooms there. And so everybody was here partying, like literally like next door.
Do your neighbors not give a shit about how loud you are?
No.
That's magic.
No. Nobody gives a shit.
I have this fucking yappy dog next door at our apartment and like just does not stop at all hours of the night. And it is the most piercing thing in the world.
Yappy dogs? Yeah, we're good with Jingles.
It's one of those little shit dogs.
Jingles is still here. Most people would say he's a little shit dog, but I don't. He's a good dog.
No, I like Jingles.
He's a good dude. Tomorrow he goes back to Dallas McLaughlin.
Tomorrow, so today he gets whatever he wants in here then.
Today
right?
he gets his last meal, right? We got him Matador burritos.
Ooh.
We got him all of it.
A Matador burrito is pretty good stuff.
And now it's like a Russian roulette of which room he shits in.
Right.
Anyone he wants.
We leave any door open, and we start throwing down dollars into the corner of the kitchen.
I got for him to poop on.
Yeah, I got 10 on Tim's room.
Well, put me in a Twinsky for Juice's room again.
Right.
He already marked his territory in there.
Well, he's a dog.
Tim went and Febreze'd
it up. That's what potty training is. I mean, how was it? Resner's, is he fully potty trained? I don't even know. Like I said.
He's pretty solid now.
Yeah.
Every now and again, we'll have a little slip up. The other day, we were...
But he doesn't wear diapers, right?
He wears diapers at night still.
At night.
Because he still has trouble...
Full honesty, I wet the bed till I was probably, what, Mike?
12, 11?
13. Last week.
He had to take that medicine that you...
DDAVP. It was a nose...
That's what I'm saying. You remember random shit.
Yeah.
DDAVP. The fact that you remember that.
DDAVP.
Do you know that they came out like 3 years later after you stopped taking it with like super harmful effects?
That explains a lot.
I'm surprised they didn't do those infomercials.
Can we get a doctor back on the show?
Right. Did you take DDAVP when you were a child?
Yeah.
Please call this law firm.
Yeah, you may be entitled. A class action lawsuit.
Did we now return to
I Love Lucy.
Did you take DDAVP? Do you suffer from having an incredibly small penis? I do.
We interrupt this programming of The Price is Right.
To talk to you about impotence. DDAVP may have caused it.
We'll get you back at work.
Yeah, no, but no, it's true. I wet the bed until I was like 11, 12.
Hey, nobody's judging.
Well, okay, so my theory is...
Non-alcohol related.
Okay, my theory is that you
now you have a whole new set of problems.
You have a sleep... like disease, some sort of problem that you need to get diagnosed.
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no question about it.
What? Do a sleep study.
A sleep study?
Dude, look it up. Sleep study.
Okay.
I sleep
Can we broadcast live?
While I sleep? Facebook live my sleeping
patterns?
Ladies and
gentlemen, we are 36 hours into BJ staying awake. He hasn't had a beer or a cigarette in 30 hours. He's starting to see things on the walls, and yet he is quoting shows from the Snoopy Christmas special.
Hey, Chuck.
Lucy just pulled the ball out from underneath him. Little does he know that there's a lot of doctors holding straitjackets behind this double-paned glass.
He has put his head through four windows. And we'll be back.
And we're back!
All right, everyone. Welcome to...
we should start the show.
Right, let's do it. All right, welcome to Life Moves Pretty Fast. I am Bijan McGavely.
Mike Bissett.
Here we go. Once again, second episode of 2017, Four Story of the Treehouse, San Diego, California. And this is a long, long, long time coming guest. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to clap him in proper right out the gate. My brother, my best friend on the planet, Michael McGavely.
Hey, thank you.
Mikey McGavely came all the way down. He came all the way down, was living in Oregon. Now he's back in our hometown of Chino Hills, California. He decided to come down, and he said, dude, one of the first things I want to do when I get back into California is come down to San Diego and be on the podcast. Thanks for coming, fellow.
Hey, thanks,
man. And it's an honor, sir.
Hey, I
honor.
Appreciate it. Cheers, gentlemen. Mm-hmm.
Cheers.
Cheers, yeah.
Hey, bring it in.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Clink, clink. I'm trying not to hit the microphone. There we go.
That was a nice change of subject from your pee in the bed.
Right, no, let's go back to it. Yeah, so I used to pee the bed all the time.
Okay, but you have to realize, like, growing up, he would not wake up under any circumstances when he was school. Like, yeah, for, like, elementary school, my mom would just yell, and then finally it would take a cup of water, and then he would lose his shit, and it would be, like, a 20-minute process. And I'd be ready, just sitting downstairs, watching my cartoons.
You were the good boy.
I got up. I'm a very light sleeper.
But yeah, no, my mom would pour like a pitcher of water on my head, and I would just like scream and go like, "What the fuck, mom?" And then
it was a fight every day.
But then I would literally just like be covered in water and like cold and uncomfortable, but I'd still go.
I feel like your sleep, whatever sleep disease you have,
I'm like, oh, but that's a pillow.
I feel like whatever sleep disease you have is like the new autism is where's the sounds. I feel like they're going to come out and say, hey, there's people who sleep so deeply that nothing will wake them up. And that's it. Like, you made me believe in sleepwalking, legitimately.
Yeah, I have done that. No. I have definitely done that. Yeah.
Did you get vaccinated?
Talking
probably has everything to do with vaccinations.
Oh, valid.
Yeah.
Is
polio.
I was the fourth
pox.
Kid. My parents did not give a fuck. Mike was number three, and he was planned. I was number four, and they're like, "Oh God, like abortion's still taboo. Let's just have him and see what happens."
He'll host a podcast one day.
Right.
Change lives. Yeah.
He will change at least two lives.
One and a half.
Right. Jingles is the half.
Jingles. Good boy.
Yeah. So you're here. You're down in San Diego for the night. We just got back from Ballast Point Tasting Room, little brewery.
We've got a few in us.
Pretty awesome. We got a couple in us. Running. Once again, hit Matador Burrito. Mm-hmm. Got a nice buffalo chicken burrito waiting after the podcast. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
So before we get started with what we're going to talk about this episode, let's go back a little bit. You went last night. I, unfortunately, could not for reasons that I will not talk about on the podcast.
But
probably not too good to put out on the internet.
Yep.
Is Tim really watching a video right now?
Tim, quiet down.
God damn it.
Yeah, I went to go. Our last guest, AJ Knox, was in San Diego's funniest person contest. And congratulations to him. He did a fantastic job.
Yeah, it was 160 people. He got down to the final eight.
Something. It may have even been more That's than awesome. That. Yeah. More comedians than that. He got down to the final eight, and he killed. And without taking anything away from the contestants from the last 2 years, because this is my third year seeing this show in a row.
Except we want to take a little bit away from Dallas.
We want to take a little bit away from Dallas. But this year,
no longer the Podfather.
No, Podfather no more. Now he's Podfather too.
Oh, we should talk about the network too. We'll talk about that after.
We'll get that. Yeah, but AJ killed it, and I think that this year was the most talented group of individuals
really
that I have seen. I've only been going for the last 3 years. But AJ did great. Unfortunately, he did not win.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy, though, that we know, James, won, and he did phenomenal.
I don't know James, so fuck
James him. Is another SeaWorld guy. He's another entertainer. He is a very good guy. Amazing lady on his arm. And he just killed last night. He was fantastic.
What do you win if you win?
Just lots of cocaine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, literally.
Mountains of cocaine. You are the funniest man in San Diego.
Bummer sauce.
You have Mexican prostitutes.
Snorted up.
And you're just doing...
No, well, I don't know what was given out this year, but last year, Dallas won, and I'm not exaggerating, literally a 5 foot tall trophy.
He couldn't fit it into his car.
No,
I think it was over that. I think it was about 6'5", that trophy. I mean, it was large.
It was a Dikembe Mutombo size trophy.
It was blocking shots like nothing else.
Right.
I've been to one of those shows, and because my buddy Daniel, he does stand up, and
we have been talking with him, and I saw him last week, and he will be on the podcast soon.
Dude, he is.
I love Daniel.
Hilarious.
Yeah,
and his whole bit since like the beginning of time has been like, do a clean show, let's be network ready, but also like let's just try and make it funny. And so he did a show
out in
Ontario.
That's something you want to do as a comedian.
Well, no, I mean, like, try and, because it's hard. It's a balance.
The main thing about comedy, doing stand-up, is you got to kind of make it funny.
Okay. What I'm saying is that a lot of people out there that are doing open mics, you know, they're like, fuck this, fuck that, you know, like, it just, you know, it's curse word every other word. So he's trying to keep a clean set that's actually, you know, solid.
Sure.
And so I went and watched him do one of these Comedy Central things where, I mean, it was like you get your own special at the end, and he made it to the very finals, and he was third. But there was a comedian the night we went, and I remember the rule is you can't cuss, and he crushed the whole set. I was dying. My friend Chris was dying. We were both laughing so hard. Ribs hurt. Tears rolling down our face. And he said, thank you guys so much. I had a fucking awesome time. I'm out. And they disqualified him at the very end of his set.
That's stupid.
Because he said, thanks guys so much. I've had such a fucking awesome time.
Mike, we actually don't cuss on this show.
I'm sorry.
So we're going to have to disqualify you as a guest.
What are we, Life's a Binge?
did I win the Coke?
Yes, you did.
Tim, bring
Tim, show him what he's won.
Bring this man. You want a new kilo of Coke?
congrats to AJ, one of the top eight funniest comedians in San Diego, and of course, friend of the show. I was happy to support him last night, and he did a great job.
Easily in the top 100 people that I know.
And easily in the top 500 in my heart.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
number eight in the state, or in the county.
Yeah, for him, he's right past
Skeletor. He's number eight in funny San Diego.
He's right past Skeletor for me. Like, right after Skeletor.
It's valid.
And one of the guys that Uma Thurman killed in Kill Bill.
Oh.
Right there.
Touché. The first one or the second?
The first one. The first one.
Cool.
Yeah, come on.
The second
name,
one.
Name,
all
one,
about
name
the fields.
One good sequel. I
Terminator
got it.
2.
Young Guns.
Ooh.
Oh. Young Guns 2 is so much better than Young Guns 1.
Oh, yeah.
How about
Soundtrack alone.
D2, The Mighty Ducks. You're a Ducks fan.
Knuckle Puck?
Is that Knuckle Puck? Is that the first one or the second one? Knuckle
second.
Puck.
I think Knuckle Puck was 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought that was 1.
All right. I thought we were going to have like a long conversation. We just fired these fuckers up quick.
We just got them going.
Like, name good sequels. All right. And we're done.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we're back.
Next.
So yeah. So congrats
to AJ.
Yeah. Congrats to AJ, man. Like that's really awesome that you made it that far. Now, I brought up earlier about our network. I don't think we talked about it on the network. We have not talked about it yet. We have been going through and talking about, I know in the beginning of the episode, you guys heard the bumper about A Modern Profession. We are in the works for a collaboration, I could say, to mold with another podcast network to form a...
More of a transition.
Transition to form a super network.
Wow.
Sure.
Yeah, we're working on that.
It's like if ESPN merged with Fox Sports.
I feel like it's on that level. It's like when Disney bought Lucasfilm. I mean, it's kind of the same.
It's like when Ben Affleck and J-Lo, you know what I mean?
Right. It's like if Fox News merged with MSNBC, they would explode.
Oh, my God. Everyone, it would be like a cage match.
Right. It would be a 45-second Ronda Rousey fight.
We'll get into Fox News later.
Yes, we absolutely
45
will.
45 seconds long for latest Ronda Rousey fights.
Hashtag POTUS. What? so we're talking with everybody. We're talking with, who are we talking about? The guys from Life's a Binge. We're talking with Degenerate, mm-hmm. Zoltan. Mm-hmm. I think the Kept Faith already kind of broke off and did their own gig.
Yeah, but I believe everything's fine.
Everything's fine. We're going to be with them.
Kind of talking to us about. So there's some interesting and fun things happening with the network. So stay tuned.
Yeah. So we're hoping to spice it up a little bit. Yeah. It was nice to have a network that, and then we ended up like, oh, we have a network. What does that mean? I don't know.
We're on it though.
It's a name. We have a name, but we tried to put together live shows, and we always did like, oh, stick around. We're going to come out with a live show. That is on my bucket list for this new network.
It will happen.
So once we all get together, we're going to have a meeting here. I don't know, probably sometime before 2020.
It would be cool to sometime do this before in front 2022. Of a live audience. That would be fun.
Yeah, live podcast, have all the different hosts mix up.
It'd be awesome.
Do coming and out.
That'd be cool.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't go back to that. Dallas.
We tried the Collins. I
think somewhere on the 15, Dallas just rammed his truck into a fucking divider. Did you hear that one with him?
That's call? Why I said it.
Perfect. All right. Fucking relax.
Hey, Mike listens to the show, man.
Mike listens to the show.
I've heard all of, I'm pretty sure all of them, every episode.
More than me?
Right? More than your wife.
Well, wife is zero.
Yeah. Mike, you have listened to 38 more episodes than Mike's own wife.
Yeah. Rez has listened to more than me. Or more than my wife. Because, yeah, I'll have it on in the background sometimes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Another quick past guest update. We are coming down to crunch time right now. We are recording. It is the 23rd of January. We are about, I would say, a week, maybe a week and a half away from one of our favorite guests.
Team Z.
Team Z.
Team Z is about to double.
Audrey Zielinski. I know she listens. She'll text me or send me messages saying, I listen to every episode because what else am I going to do? I'm laying in bed pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got bed about rest. A week and a half to go.
As someone who just like listened and heard both her episodes, like super awesome. Nothing but best wishes. Like that was just amazing to hear her, like, I don't know, the trials and tribulations. That's a huge thing to overcome. And dude, B of A, man. Way to go, man.
Right.
That's awesome.
That's what I said, too.
Like, hell yeah. Help her out. You know, you don't hear a lot, especially with the Women's March this weekend, like just hearing companies that really support women like that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, Audrey, I know you're listening, and I'm sure everyone out there who is listening to the podcast right now, we wish you nothing but the best. We cannot wait to meet your two beautiful baby girls. And, safe labor, safe delivery, safe all that, and can't wait to meet them.
Go get them.
Go get them, Tiger. All right. Now, Mikey, you probably want to jump on this. We talked at Ballast Point a little bit. I made a little comment about a Facebook post you made yesterday.
Yeah, so speaking of what day it is, yesterday, you guys, if you've listened to the show, I lost my old man a few years ago, and yesterday would have been his 66th birthday, and of course, I have his car. His 66 Bug that you guys, if you also have listened to the show a lot.
Pretty awesome story.
It's a pretty fun story. My son loves the car. So yesterday we took a little ride around the block, or did we?
I hope so. Shit.
Well, I mean, in case CPS is listening.
Right.
We absolutely did not ride in the 50-year-old car with a toddler. But yeah, we may have taken a few laps around the block. It was pretty cool. To celebrate Grandpa's birthday.
Yeah, Grandpa Allen's birthday.
It was fun.
So yeah. So cheers.
And
buddy.
You had brakes.
Cheers. Cheers to that. Yeah.
Cheers to Grandpa.
And I did have brakes this time.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at dude. He really.
You do listen to the show.
He listens. He pays attention. Uh-huh. He retains information.
Well, that story resonated with me because I used to have a VW bus.
I remember the bus. 76.
Shop, and it was super fucked. Like it was not good. And
wait, who'd you buy that from? Cody's parents?
Yeah, no, just Cody.
Oh, just Cody.
My brother-in-law, and it ended up again. They took probably 6 weeks to try and fix it, and then when I got home, it was still not running right. And then some guy tried to come and buy it, and he's like, "You got a rod knocking." And I was like, "I don't know what that means." And he's like, "Yeah, your car's gonna break down real soon. It's done. You got a rod knocking."
That was definitely Tim.
And I was like, "I don't know what that means." Yeah, your car's done. You need to just trade it in. It's done.
But no, we drove it one night to the bowling alley.
Yeah.
But it was
all the way to the bowling alley?
All the way to the bowling alley. From Chino Hills to Diamond Bar. That was far. But but I remember the stick shift wasn't just like right next to you. Like it went like a foot and a half down.
It was way up. And you had to reverse. You had to actually push it into the ground and pull it back. And I had the top popped up so you could have like a bed up top. I had the
there was a
like
stove, and a sink.
And a sink and everything. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a
good van.
It was a good.
Yeah, I wish it worked, but I had a rod knocking.
You had a rod knocking.
Rod knocking.
Hashtag rod knocking.
Now, did you give it to that guy? Did you trade it into that guy?
No, it's
he
so
probably
funny.
Took it and fixed that rod.
Rock some nods.
Rock some nods, and now he's still driving it across country.
No, I didn't have a car for a while, and then my brother-in-law sold it to me, and then he was like, "Hey,
How much did he buy it for?
$1,200.
$1,200? The fucking thing didn't even work.
Yeah, and that's what I'm, so then they bought it back from me. And
I sold my Nissan
Stanza
for $800, and that son of a bitch still ran.
And yeah, what, well, it was a 76 bus, you said?
I don't know what year it was.
76, 78, I want to say.
Yeah, it was old as shit.
Well, we would always just go in. It was in our driveway for like a year and a half.
So we'd hang out in
literally
it.
Just sit in it. We'd pop the bunk beds and just like sit in it and hang out when we were like 18 years old.
So I sold it back to them, and then they donated it to charity and used it as a tax write-off.
It
worked out.
That would have been good if it actually worked, though.
I would have, if it still worked to this day, I would have kept it. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was a good car.
That's going to be my next investment. And Becky is completely on board, too, is getting a pop-up camper van, like 76, 74.
You should take it back to that same guy. He sounds pretty
Yeah,
legit.
He was legit. Yeah, that guy.
Hey, do you guys got any rod knockers here?
Hey! Can you paint this in less than a year and a half?
Oh, but it was like, dude, the paint was like shit.
Oh,
like
it was chipping,
when you popped it up, there was like spider webs and cobwebs and shit in it. Like,
what was that guy's name, by the way? I'm just curious. The mechanic.
Who
was
my mechanic?
Yeah.
Chris.
Chris. Yeah. Do you know his last name? I feel like it should be like
Chris Dumbass.
Chris. Yeah. Dumas. Chris it's pronounced Dumas.
Chris Dumas. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I honestly don't remember his name. I've been drinking heavily to try to forget that entire situation.
Valid.
So I'll
or just take your son for a spin.
Just take Reznor out for a little ride around the block.
Right.
It was real fun. Yeah. So and today he asked me to drive him to school in the bug.
Oh really?
I was like, I don't know if I can drop you off at preschool, buddy, in the 50-year-old car.
Buddy, other parents are gonna see this.
Yeah, so maybe not do that. I might get some stares. The dads might think it's cool. But the mom and the faculty might.
Does the horn work?
No.
Oh, then that would. Yeah, yeah. You can't do it. Because no, I would have literally just gone by to. Just been like, nice Prius.
Well, he was going to fix the horn. It just didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
he said 2 weeks for the horn.
It's like that old horn on like the trolley in Toontown. Like, nice Prius.
I'm going to get that now.
How much does it cost to get like a personalized, not personalized, but like a customized horn?
I don't know.
Yeah, that would be a more pleasant, like if I cut someone off and like, if you hear like a hard honk, you're like, fuck, what did I do?
Like an old Cadillac horn?
Right. But that's me. Like I'm a defensive driver. Like I don't like cut people off. Like I make sure there's four car lengths and before
right.
I mm-hmm. put my blinker on and
you don't go in the left lane unless you're passing.
Right.
Kind of thing.
But yeah, I drive very defensively. So like, if I hear someone honk at me, I immediately get like, oh fuck, like what did I do? Like I'm sorry. And so like, I look in my mirrors. I'm like, did I do something? Like, was there a car there? So I don't know if I would feel the same way if I accidentally cut someone off and it was just.
That's another good one. There's an app for that. I think you can just change your horn.
No, that can't, fucking technology.
There's gotta be. I don't know if there is one, but there has to be.
Yeah.
If not, let's make it.
Tim has an app on his phone where he can make the lights in his room into a robot fight. And the
it
lights will
colors,
flicker
yeah.
like a robot fight.
It's pretty cool.
I'm listening. Go on. So yeah, that was the grandpa bug.
Grandpa
Reznor story.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Alan Bissett.
Pour one out if you're listening for me.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to jump into this one, Mikey?
Well, I mean, we might as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been.
Well, do we want?
I don't
go?
Know. I don't know what we can say that hasn't already been said, but we might as well get into it. This this dude that's in charge now.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. You guys are brothers. You guys have a pretty long relationship. I'm assuming.
Right. Yeah.
How long have you guys known each other?
35 plus years.
Yeah, 34 years.
So
it's funny when you think that.
Yeah.
It's funny.
35 years.
Four.
Yeah. 34
I'm only,
years.
I'm only 34.
32.
We know 30, each other so well.
Years.
We know each other so well, he doesn't even know my fucking
years.
Age.
I was thinking of my age. Okay.
Since you pitched this one, I've been looking forward to this because I can't wait to hear the brotherly banter. Because we're going to talk politics.
We feel very differently about things.
Do
times.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of did that on purpose. I didn't want to know anyone's.
That's awesome.
Affiliations, your feelings. I kind of just want to be a spectator in this debate here.
Well, okay. Here's the main political difference between Mike and I. I feel like when my mother.
Mike, your brother.
Mike,
not
my
me.
Brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, my
right.
brother.
Okay.
When my mother had me, she should have been and was pro-life. When she had my brother, she probably should have been pro-choice.
Wow. Wow.
Jingles.
That one
hurt.
Yikes.
Was that a singer?
I need to hold a puppy right now.
Here we go. Ding, ding.
And we're off.
You are telling jokes when the state of our country is such that we are going straight to hell. How dare you, sir?
Well, first off, how did you guys feel about the inauguration as a... as an event, take the politics out of it.
Sure.
How do you guys feel about this?
I actually watched
the several million dollar party.
Yeah.
That
probably is fairly unnecessary.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you think this could be done on Facebook Live now, where the guy just gets sworn in and now you're our president? Do we need to close down an entire city and spend $5 million on
security? Absolutely, you need to. Absolutely.
Yep.
I have gone back and I don't know if I've ever said it on the show, but I'm a huge, I don't want to say connoisseur, but I'm a huge, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I really like JFK. I'm fascinated by the Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
So I've watched a million speeches.
Just keep
that
in mind,
JFK
this is borderline obsessive. Like, he is fascinated.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've gone to where he was assassinated twice, two, three times when I was in Texas.
Wait, was this in the news? I don't remember that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, guys, hot topic. Hot take.
Carrie Fisher and JFK are dead.
Hot take LMPF.
We're getting out there. Yeah. All right, so JFK.
So I love JFK. And I think one of the greatest speeches that any president has ever said came from the inauguration, mm-hmm. from JFK's inauguration. So,
which was grab him by the pussy, right?
Ask wrong. Not which pussy you can grab.
Ask not. I'm going to grab this pussy. You know, if you take JFK and you kind of do a little bit of this,
it's Trump.
You kind of get Trump.
I've told you your Trump sounds like a Kennedy, but yeah, I'm with Mikey on that one. Ask not what the pussy can do for you, but for when you can grab from the pussy.
Hey, frat boy anthem right there.
Right, that's it. There we go. Now we're in PB.
All right. So JFK gives the best speech of his career on Inauguration Day.
He gives, first of all, like, inaugural speeches.
Inaugural.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Correct me on that if you're commenting on Facebook.
Someone is driving listening to this right now. And just
AJ Knox is just firing into his phone.
Radio.
They're driving down the freeway beeping their horns like, it's fucking inaugurational. That's called a callback. Hey, here we go.
So you think it's important. You basically are fine with spending $10 million on a party for
absolutely.
Corrupt politician.
It should be celebrated. No, okay, first of all.
Any politician. I'm talking.
It doesn't matter.
If you love Trump, if you love Obama, this happened.
Republicans were protesting and screaming when Obama was elected president.
I'm not talking politics. I'm just talking about shutting the city down.
It needs to be changed, having a
party that people fly in from all over the world.
It's a celebration of our freedom. It's a celebration of our electoral process that we have. And I think
that is the most important
valid.
Person in the country, if not the world. And it happens every 4 years. So it needs to be fucking celebrated.
Yeah, what do you think about a guy being reelected? Do we need to re-inaugurate him or her?
I think that the electoral process is super important. Yeah. I mean, you look at like what they go through in Vatican City with the Pope. I mean, that's just crazy town. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I know.
Why are you saying it like that?
Because I don't like Catholics.
Okay, fair.
I hope Grandma doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh, Grammy.
Oh, I'm going to get a wrath of shit. No, it's absolutely insane. She's a Nana. Yeah. You didn't hear that, Nana. Have you listened to the last two? Nana's still in the corner.
Yeah.
I forgot about Nana. Mike's like, it hasn't been funny the last four episodes.
No,
you guys
it
have
works.
Done that.
Totally works. It's a good bit.
It's a good bit. We're going to keep going with that.
However, you should untie that lady. I'm just saying.
That's
she looks amazing.
Whenever. Right. Whenever.
I gave her a Dixie cup of water. She'll
Jingles gives her some scraps every now and again.
But yeah, I do think we need that speech. I do think we need that day to just sort of reflect and be like, hey, this is a huge monumental moment over the past 4 years, and we're welcoming someone to be the leader of our country.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not in favor of either way. I mean, I'm not saying that we should shut it down. That's an argument that I have heard that why do we need to do this? I mean, we've spent a year and a half campaigning.
You know what it reminds me of?
It
reminds me of LeBron's announcement a little bit, though. I'm with you on that. It reminds me of like when he's like, hey, we're just going to take the off season to let you know that I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. So I sort of feel what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a little more important.
Okay, I get why you're comparing it like that, but no, you have to think about it. Like, electing a president is the only thing that has been a consistent thing in America since the beginning of America.
Sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So and why should it not be Indians?
Right. Yeah. Thanks, Eagle Rock. What's it called? Standing Rock. That's what I was talking about.
Gotcha.
you in Plymouth.
Well, you said the beginning of America.
Right. No, you're right.
From Plymouth to Standing, there's been a rock.
And then Dwayne the Rock Johnson
is the highest paid actor. Right.
And then somewhere around here is probably Kevin Hart trying to make money. I think it absolutely needs to be celebrated. I watched the entire thing. Here's the weird thing. I didn't actually watch in live, in actual real time. I didn't watch the actual speech. Mm-hmm. When I turned it on, it was after that, and it was going through like the fucking luncheon, and it was all stupid shit where it's just a bunch of other people in Donald Trump's party just sitting there and just trying to find easy ways to just jerk him off. Paul Ryan
singing
was just
Kryptonite
like
Tonight by Three Doors Down.
Right. Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't believe how well, great now, that show yeah. was.
This one's for you, Donald. If you're the crazy wedding, you
still I hate can. That song so much.
Yeah.
Oh my
well,
God.
Of course.
I don't know if anybody
But no,
does.
it was just all big jerk off fest. And then there was the whole parade, and the parade was great.
To me, it feels like
it was long, but it's where it makes sense. It goes from Congress all the way to the White House. It's
right.
making that road from where he was elected, technically, all the way to now where he lives and he's going to reside as the president of the United States.
So my question is, how do you feel about things? How do you feel about the state of things right now?
As far as him being the president?
Yeah.
It's day three or four.
It's day three. I firmly
day three,
believe
we're still here.
I did not vote for him. We have been very outspoken on the podcast mm-hmm. that he should not be the president. And there's all kinds of crazy shit. I firmly believe that he's the president now. There's nothing we can do about it. Give him at least a chance before we start getting angry.
I am on those lines, and I know that we have a lot of Trump supporters who listen. People have told me that.
Mm-hmm.
People have disagreed with me about my impression, which is really shitty.
Oh no, it's not good.
The impression is terrible, and right. and my thoughts about him have sparked some debate with some friends. But I respect that. I respect that my buddies who do listen to the show have been like, hey, let's engage in some conversation.
Yeah. Sure,
which is great. I'm not a big fan of the. Well, he's our guy now, so we have to do this. It's like, no, because if I have a leader and I disagree, and I have the right to disagree with him, I'm gonna disagree with him.
Absolutely.
I don't have to follow this guy blindly because he lost the popular vote and now I have to listen to him.
Right.
And so
I completely agree that the Electoral College is ridiculous.
If he does a great job, which so far he has proven to not do such a great job, in my opinion, because insurance is going to be taken away, women's rights are going to be taken away. He just this morning signed an anti-abortion thing, surrounded by a bunch of other white men.
Right.
And to me, that's just kind of, you got 3 days in. Let's maybe not tackle health care and abortion over the weekend.
Well, right. Yeah. Okay. And this is where we come in.
And Mad Dog also bombed like a fuck ton of ISIS today.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
I'll have to do some homework.
And that's the weird thing. I mean, it's just something I saw and I read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't read the article on the anti-abortion stuff, so I don't know exactly what happened, so I'm just not going to speak on it. But, like, yeah, it's just weird stuff. It's easy to get pulled in on either side.
Yeah.
Sure, and I think there's no surprises so far, is what I would tell you. Is what he's doing right now
true.
Is exactly like what he promised, and it's don't get me wrong, I'm not his campaign manager who's going to deflect. I'm going to say that.
Oh, good, because she's a cunt.
Oh, we love alternative facts on Life Moves Pretty Fast.
Okay, so what I'll tell you is that he.
What's her name? Kellyanne.
Something. Well, I'm blanking on her last name. I've always just called her Kellyanne. I don't even know her last
sure,
name.
Kellyanne.
But what I'd say is that at this point,
sorry,
he has signed legislation that this is what he promised. This is what the people voted for. I don't think he's thrown
he
a curveball at this point.
He did say during one of the debates
that
he was going
to repeal Obamacare, which, to be honest with you, I'm in favor of. And there's a couple reasons for that. And I mean, without getting super sidetracked, I talked to my dad months and months and months ago before the primaries.
You can just call him Dad.
Yeah.
I mean, two of the three of us are related to him. So,
and he said, hey, Trump's going to win in a landslide. He's just going to run away with it. And he didn't, of course, because he didn't win the popular vote, but he did win.
Right.
And one of the things that we talked about was that every election cycle, what ends up happening when you're going to elect someone new is that some issue is being ignored. Something is being ignored. And I remember when President Obama got elected, I was like, well, healthcare seems to be the thing that people are really resonating with. Like, this seems to be the hot button in the debates. It seemed like healthcare was really that thing that people were grasping onto. And in this election cycle, it really felt to me like illegal immigration and the whole Islamic terrorism was something that wasn't being addressed. And the only person who really talked about it, especially even in the Republican primaries, was Donald Trump. And don't get me wrong, the stuff that he said offended me in some ways. Like, I felt like he was absolutely taking that line that was like the super jump to what is rational. Yeah. But at least he wasn't lying to me.
Sure. And this is not knocking the Republican primaries, but let's be honest, every single one of those debates was an atrocity. If Donald Trump knew, because everyone else was so worried about trying to get the rib in Donald Trump, like, oh, I got to just give him one good jab, and then I'm going to make a headline.
Not at first. That was nobody the later, was good. The later debates.
Nobody
the
even
is,
held a fucking candle to him.
Okay, but the media is who spun that, and that's what you really need to, like, I feel like, take a look at, is you had viable people that, okay, so let me just ask you, John Kasich, what didn't you like about him?
I liked everything about John Kasich, and I completely agree with you on this.
And
this
I loved.
Point.
What
I
didn't
did
you
too.
Like about
no.
Ben Carson? What didn't you
Hold
like
on,
about
wait,
Rand
no.
Paul? What
can
didn't you,
you
like about? Like, look, you can pick nitpick things, little things that you could be like, hey, these small issues.
I was talking about brothers.
I don't
Here
like.
We go.
No, yeah. no, no. I'm pissed because he stepped over a good joke. I was going to say John Kasich. I loved him in High Fidelity.
Hey, there you go.
And you fucking stepped over my joke.
I'm sorry.
Was it, didn't
I'm
he hold up the radio during
politics.
The debate?
Here he is. Fucking look at you. Ba-da-da, ba-da-da.
How dare you.
I agree with you, Mike, there were how many candidates? 10, 11 candidates out there in those first debates?
It was the Patriots
and some of those guys,
starting freaking offensive team
yeah,
at this point.
It was like some of those guys brought up great points.
Right.
But then Trump says something about his small hands and he's got a huge dick. That gets all of the media.
But you
that,
have
that,
to realize
that
that's
the
Democrats
story.
Wanting him to be the guy because he
no, because
can't
everybody
win.
Knew.
He can't win. Everyone said he can't win.
Sure.
We want him to be the
nominee.
Oh,
he was a circus show.
Right. And the sad thing is that he played right into the disenfranchised people that felt like they weren't listened to. He played right into the straight white male. He played right into like the idea that there were so many people who didn't listen. I don't agree with everything that Obama did over his 8 years. In fact, I disagree with the majority of things that he did.
Nobody can ever agree with everything that any president did.
Right. What I would say is
except
that
JFK.
To me, Obama, he played into
except
social...
For, except for getting killed. Didn't agree with that.
Valid.
Right.
He played into social issues. He was very much the president that said, hey, I'm going to talk about race.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about gender inequality. I'm going to talk about these things that, to me, are about what the state wants to do with it, and a president should have no business even chiming in on. Like, for me, for him, before even preliminary investigation – I'm sorry, I'm getting fired up – before even preliminary investigations were done on a lot of the officer-involved shootings on African-American people was already commenting on it. That made me really upset, and that made me upset right. from the standpoint of I have family in law enforcement. I have a brother-in-law that's – a police sergeant, and I felt like he directly put his life in danger at times. And when you look at the shooting in Texas and you look at someone who picked off officers, like, and you have someone who said, like, a president who said, like, hey, this could have been my son, you know, yeah. How can you lead an investigation from an objective point of view when the president's already saying, like, this kid could have been my son?
Sure. And that goes into that goes into an interview that we did with our buddy, the police officer. That's a lost episode that we never actually aired. But he said it was right after Dallas happened, and we were talking about that. And he said basically that everyone jumped the gun way too quickly. Like, and with media, it's who is there first? Who can break it first?
Right.
Fuck the facts. Facts be damned.
Absolutely.
Whoever can break it first whether it's CNN, blah, 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 sell your story to whoever the hell you have to, whatever website, whatever, that's what people are going to get on because that's the first thing they see. You know what I mean? Like if I put up a thing on Facebook right now saying Harrison Ford died from a heart attack, people would go like, what the fuck? Like, and it would probably spread a little bit. There's always like those celebrity.
Someone would share it or retweet it.
Right.
So that they
were the first
could be the first ones to tell their friends.
Yeah. Did you guys hear
Harrison
Ford died?
Without completely reading the story, without fact checking.
Absolutely.
Without looking at another source, a credible source. To, you know, Harrison Ford, fine.
Yeah, and that was the thing that...
Now, if
Harrison Ford
dies of a heart attack tonight, I'm gonna come after you in your sleep. Because...
Valid.
Yeah.
Okay. So that... But what I'm saying
finally, that means that he got off my plane.
Well...
That is the age
that we're
in.
You go to Air Force One with Harrison Ford?
What else do you want, guy?
He did die in the last Star Wars movie. Spoilers.
So did Carrie Fisher.
Well, in real life.
In real life. That was... Yeah, Mike, are you going to...
What I'm saying is, no, I'm not going
to
hit you.
Okay, but what I'm saying basically to wrap up my point is that, yes, whoever breaks it first gets the gig, and that's not fair because especially when you're talking about things about like police shootings, Black Lives Matter, do I think it was wrong for Obama to come out and make speeches? Absolutely. He had to come out, and it's always great for... They always say, like, we got to get on top of this, Mr. President. We got to get on top of this.
But that's how Trump came into power.
No,
of course. Because he's like, I support police.
Let me finish my thought.
I'm sorry.
You know, we got to get on top of this, Mr. President. We got to get in front of it. But then he goes out and he makes a statement like that, which can possibly make people a lot more enraged and furious when, in fact, they don't have any facts. Like most cases, which he said in our interview, you don't even have any facts until about 72 hours after the crime is actually, like, reported right. and committed. So it's not very fair. No, I'm agreeing with you on this.
That's great.
I'm you glad son of a hand. Bitch! What?
Nana, you shut the hell up! Nana, jump in here. Separate your boys.
No, so, like, I don't know. For me, when I look at, like, this whole political process and where we're at today, like, it's important for me to understand how we got here. I don't like the state that we're in, especially, like, I don't know. I'm getting so much, like, Facebook just negative shit, man. And so we had the Women's March the past couple days, which I think if you look at it and you take a step back on the positive, like, holy cow.
Great turnout.
Yeah. Millions of people. And I'm talking just people, you know, mm-hmm. Men, women, children that came together and...
And for the most part, all positive.
Very peaceful.
Peaceful. Yeah.
So
I did
read
in New York, there was not a single arrest.
Which is amazing.
That's
amazing.
You get that many people together. I don't care who they are. There could be...
L.A. was, I think, three quarters of a million, 750,000 people.
And to not make one arrest, that's impressive.
But my question is, what's the message, man? Like, what are we getting across? Because to me, like, there's a mixed bag. Because, like, I think it is very pro-women, and I think it is very pro-women's rights. And I totally just want to say, like, outright, the people that were trying to report that, like, women's groups that were pro-life weren't allowed there. That was like such a hoax, and I found that so deplorable. Again, the media just reporting on the first thing that they heard was that there was a pro-life group that wanted to come, and someone said that they're not allowed there. And they said from like minute one,
everyone's allowed.
Every woman is allowed there. Everyone, period, is allowed there. So yeah. I found that like, but that's just them trying to sensationalize.
That's
like
saying there can't be any Donald Trump, you know, people against Donald Trump at his parade when there were thousands of them.
Sure.
Well, look, I do
on
think that
the row. They put them on the row as he was marching down or walking down Pennsylvania Street, and he was like, everyone's like, boo, Trump, not my president. But he still
walked down. Yeah. Sure. I do think that there is a stigma behind like being pro-life is anti-feminist, but regardless, that did not happen like at that rally. And that to me is like what John Lennon sang about. And imagine like that, those are the moments that he realized like, you know, writing that type of song that like, what if we could all get together and just stand behind a cause, stand behind women for a time. And that felt like a day where that's what we did as a country,
totally.
Which, yeah. And you know, I mean, it did turn into a little bit of an anti-Trump, not a little bit, a big time anti-Trump rally. And you had celebrities hijacking it, which I found like super shitty. I didn't like that Madonna and Ashley Judd spoke so negatively. Like, listen, if you're that type of person who just wants to look at the negative and just wants to say like, hey, Trump's a piece of garbage and like blah, 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 cool. That's fine. You can be that person. I'm a person who chooses to look at the fact that, like, so many people rallied together and said, hey, like, my fellow woman is an equal to me, and I love that person, and we're here together standing in solidarity for, like, women's rights, and that's what's important to us.
Yeah.
And to me...
Why can't we celebrate it?
Right. And so, like, what's funny is this leads into... So I posted a Facebook status. I waited 2 days because I thought, I need to digest this. I need to think about it a little bit and just really, like... get behind what this meant, because I do.
It's like
think
you're dating again. It's like, I'm gonna wait 2 days before I text this Facebook.
Yeah. I thought, you know, I need to think.
Bro,
about...
don't do it. You're gonna do it. Don't do it. You
I
want to
call her though.
Don't do it, bro. You gotta wait at least 48 hours.
So what I posted was, hey, if you know of a company that is paying women unequally, please let me know. And I won't give them, like, my business. And my thought was, hey, let's keep it small. Let's keep it local. I don't want to say I live in a smaller city, but sort of. 85-ish, 90,000 people. And the business that I work in does have a very, like, community feel. It's sort of smaller. So, like, if I heard of a company saying, hey, we don't hire women, or we're not apt to promote women, or someone was telling me that, like,
are they hiring? I want to work for them.
Yeah. So
sorry. Oh, that's not the point though. Sorry.
Valid.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, cool. Please somebody let me know which company isn't doing that. And what I felt the response was is, like, completely negative and just completely, let's blow this up. Like 10 times what it is.
Your post got hijacked, basically. By
basically, it, the first thing was
political things.
The first thing was, well, don't go to any movies or see any.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
Or see any Broadway plays because women are paid less. You know, and look, that's an indisputable fact. But I'm sorry. First of all, I'm not going to cry over millionaires. That's not the cause.
And
I'm
let's
really
be
going
honest.
For.
Should Kirsten Stewart be paid as much as Tom Hanks?
Come on. I mean, I saw the Snow White movie. That's right up there with Castaway, bro.
I can't relate to someone who's like, hey, someone's agent isn't negotiating well for this woman. So you need to really, like, step up and stand up for this woman whose agent isn't negotiating for them. Like, I saw a thing not too long ago. Who's the I can't remember her name. Hunger Games.
Gina Davis.
Girl. The girl who's in The Hunger Games.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I had a momentary.
Lori
so they're
Petty.
Like, hey, you
Rosie
know.
O'Donnell. I'm just going to name the whole cast of A League of Their Own. Madonna.
Tom Hanks.
Gina
What's
Davis?
Your name? Tom Hanks.
Did you say
Gina
Davis?
Cool. Tom Hanks was the highest paid actor in A League of Their Own.
I don't know. I don't know her name, but old Betty Spaghetti.
She made...
The little boy
made
Stillwell.
Nelson, Gina
even yeah. Stillwell made more money than Madonna in that movie.
You're gonna saying, lose. If you have someone representing
that's
you,
that's what he was saying at the contract signing to Madonna.
Mike's trying to make a point.
Well, it's irrelevant at this point.
No, go,
whoa,
go,
God, whoa, jingles.
Poor jingles trying to jump on my lap. If you're
trying to get in on this.
If you're trying to, like, make me feel bad about someone who has an agent and their agent isn't representing them well, and that's a women's cause, I don't know what to tell you. And then you go down a little further, and it was like, hey.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about, like, a lawyer. Like,
elaborate.
Women lawyers getting paid less than male lawyers. They still make, whatever, $500,000 a year, let's say. But, like, if a female lawyer makes $300,000 a year, is that wrong? But you're... I mean, they still make a fuck ton of money. Like, is it worth complaining about?
No. Well, so, okay. So I looked into this a lot. Like, I did what I would feel to be, like, at least a marginal amount of research just so that I didn't come on this podcast and look like a total dickbag.
I will take care of that.
Valid. Yeah. Call me a dickbag if you need to.
No. I will play the role of
right.
dickbag.
Oh, yeah, cool. Easy. Awesome.
So I got
say something derogatory that's way worse than what I'm about to say. So, like... From what I understand, that the real problem is in higher positions. So we're talking about CEOs of companies. We're talking about, like, people that are GMs of companies, like people in the upper echelon of our economy women are being disenfranchised because they feel like, hey, we're not getting the opportunities that males are.
Right.
And doing further research and actually reading up on it, what I've come to understand is that there is an actual like psychological epidemic that is happening. Like, women aren't actually applying for these positions because even if they're overqualified than men, men who are underqualified for high CEO type positions are applying for these type positions because they believe that they're qualified for it, whereas women aren't doing that. And there is that is a stigma that is actually happening in society and circulating. And for me, I think, like, well, that sucks, and that's something that should change. And I absolutely think if someone's – you know, people that are overqualified aren't being accepted. And so then they start talking about, like, what males generally think of when they're, like – so when you get down to the final process, when you're talking about, like, the last four or five candidates for, like, a major job, you start to take in a number of factors. And what you're hearing from, like – the top CEOs of companies is that they feel that women will take more time off, that they won't be as dedicated to their job as they are to their family. And I think that, again, it's a stereotype, it's a stigma, and those are things that I'm absolutely against. Those are things that I absolutely think are deplorable. My post today when I said, you know, if there's a company, I had someone, when you said someone hijacked my post, my work has been amazing about taking care of women. We have women in management positions. We have women that have like absolutely every opportunity to advance throughout our company. I work for a restaurant, and our GM is one of those guys who, like, if you want to go sit down and be like, "Hey, I have an idea, let me pitch it to you," mm-hmm. He'll at least listen to you. And if it's valid and he thinks it's a good idea, he'll invest in it. That's the type of guy he is. He's a guy who came from nothing.
But if not, he'll say, "Get out of here, broad.
Let them." Let the men take care of this one, sweet tits.
he will talk to you very derogatorily. Yeah. No.
I have worked in many jobs where the majority of my coworkers are female. I mean, I
will tell you right now, in my department at work, there are two males, uh-huh. and there are over 50, almost, I'd say probably 50 females.
I probably work with 6 males and 15 females who are vastly more overpaid than
so
I am.
So what is it like for you 6 guys to have to do all the extra work for all those women?
We carry so much shit.
Well, dude, hey, I'm just going to tell you this right now.
Doing the water cooler.
Every chauvinistic thing we're saying is
no, and I'm not going to be a chauvinist. It's for comedy. I'm just going to tell you, I have lived in a sort of like
for our cool, lady comedy.
I've lived in this sort of cool renaissance where, like, the past, you know, 7 or 8 years of my life, I've worked for companies that really respect women and really take care of women, and don't just pay them a living wage, pay them a wage where they can absolutely have a fantastic life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And but at the same time, it's funny because, like, the restaurant I work for, we make great money, we split tips. The women don't do this, sounds terrible, but there are like pink jobs and there are blue jobs, and that sounds horrible, but it's something that's been bantered about, and that's not something I ever engaged in or ever said. But like,
right.
Blue jobs are, dude, you go change the kegs, you lift the kegs, you put them on the second mm-hmm. shelf, you mm-hmm. go into the cold cooler. Dude, on the day when we have our golf tournaments, all the guys work at the restaurant, all the girls go out, and they go to the golf tournament, and they sit there, and they drink beers and hang out with the people that are playing golf the mm-hmm. whole day.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where we don't make any more, we don't make any less that day, we're doing way more work. And I don't think that's unfair. I think that they're using, like, the corporate model to maximize the profits that they can get. Mm-hmm. And I don't fault, like, them at all. It's just one of those things where, like, when you say, like, should – so the guy who hijacked basically my Facebook feed said, like, hey, how many women are in power? How many people are GMs? How many people are managers? How many are AGMs? And to me, that's not the measure of who's successful. It's the measure of – to me, the measure of who's successful is who's making the money, who's able to take care of their families. That's the important thing to yeah. me. I don't care about the social stigma. I could care less if I did a like menial job that was demeaning to my manhood.
No. Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all. And the argument that you know, women are paid less because of maternity leave and because, you know, they take 4 or 5 months off to have a baby, and then right. they take extended time and then family leave. To me, that doesn't mean they are worse at their job. To me, that means that they are better with their family, and right. that we as men should go for have a goal like that. Like, hey, let's give dads. Do you have kids, Mike? I don't even know.
I don't.
You don't have kids. Okay. Let's give dads for when my son was born. I got 3 days. 3 days paid. Three. That was it.
That's crazy.
It's an extended weekend. And I ended up taking, I don't know, 3-4 weeks off, but I mean that was all of my allotted time. That I'm out of vacation, out of holidays for the rest of the year.
And going back to Audrey, to where she said even B of A does it for paternity leave.
Right.
Same
and
thing.
So I feel like instead of criticizing women for taking time off to be with their families, hey guys, let's step up and be there for our kids.
Yeah.
And so that whole argument has always been complete bullshit to me. Is that, you know, the women don't make enough because they're off having babies. It's like, well, a lot of professional women don't have babies.
Listen,
for
but
a
like
company that I worked for, hold on, for a company that I worked for, and this is God's honest truth, for a company that I worked for once, said to a girl who was pregnant, obviously there were things that she couldn't do because she was pregnant, obviously for medical reasons, absolutely. Like, if you decide to have a baby, like, that's fine. If you can't do a certain thing, lift whatever, this or whatever.
Yeah, I will gladly replace the 5-gallon jug of water.
Right, absolutely.
If you're pregnant or if you ask me to.
Absolutely. If you don't, you're a dickhead. But she was told that there is no maternity leave if you want to have your baby. Not if you want to have your baby. It wasn't put in those words, but
if you want to, or you could just hold it there.
Yeah, right, have a baby.
Yeah, just leave it there. So you're going to have your baby. There is no maternity leave. You are paid for nothing. When you decide to have your baby, you must leave the company.
Which is that's actually illegal.
Take out as much time as you want. Take off as much time as you want to do your little mommy thing.
You know what's funny? Mike and I just made eye contact. Like, what? Like,
yeah, no, that was a real no. That was a real thing.
That's
no,
there not, was that's a girl, illegal.
He literally said, "You need to you will not be employed, and when you want to come back, that's fine. You can come back whenever you want." And you can save up whatever vacation time you have saved up. I'll pay you for it.
This is in California?
Yeah.
Huh. Weird. Yeah,
which is atrocious.
I think that's kind of illegal.
It's atrocious.
So, like, when I see the Women's March and I see that that's what they're marching for is to, like, let's break that stigma. Like, let's stop doing that stuff. I'm like, cool. Like, that's great.
Sure.
And that's where we need to be. And equal pay for equal work. My thing is...
I didn't march, and I got a lot of shit for it from a lot of my friends for not going to the march, but I march very heavily for women's rights, Planned Parenthood. I think it's an incredibly beautiful thing.
Dude, and I'm with you 100%. I've used Planned Parenthood before, and I feel
I have too.
The hard thing... So let me just, I guess, just ask you, getting kind of heavy. I feel like it's valid to say, hey... People who pay taxes shouldn't have to pay for abortions if they feel objectively that that's wrong, like that's morally wrong.
Right, but also me paying taxes, I shouldn't have to pay taxes for infrastructure on a street in Sacramento that I never drive on.
Yes, you should.
Why?
Yeah, you should because everybody drives on it.
It doesn't affect me.
Well, you don't know that you're never going to drive on it, first of all. And second of all, like, infrastructure is just a necessary part of our economy.
Sure, so is women's health.
Okay. But what I'm saying is, and this is the point that I'm making, and this is what's frustrating is this is the gridlock that we run into. This is like the bullshit that we run into. It's like, okay, so here we go. So we talk about Planned Parenthood, right?
Yeah.
And so you have the Republicans who go, they do abortions that are tax funded, and this is wrong. This is just wrong, and people shouldn't have to pay for that. Okay, listen, that's an argument I can listen to. I'm not saying I agree with it. I can listen to it.
I don't agree.
However,
if I don't agree with the death penalty, I still have to pay for a prisoner to be executed.
Right. But what I'm saying is that there is no compromise on either side. When you say – when like you say that there's just an unreasonableness right now within the media, within both parties that I just absolutely shit on that makes me crazy is like the idea that – because like I said, I've used Planned Parenthood and I feel like it's such a viable source for people to go and get medical care. I feel like it's something that like – when people do use it, like they, for the most part, they get like, just like absolute, God, what's the word I'm thinking of? Things that are necessities. I'm sorry.
Birth control, condoms.
Yeah, and education about that stuff. And when we're talking about, and that's the thing is, so you have the GOP going, we shouldn't have this stuff in classrooms. This is not something we should be talking about.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I totally agree. And so here we are. But on the Democratic side, it's like, hey, but carte blanche, man. Like, we should be able to – we should use taxpayer, like, money to fund abortions. And I can understand why someone would object to that. I can understand someone who's an evangelical Christian objecting to that. I can understand
someone who's
Right. So it's a conversation that should be had. We just don't have – and this is my problem. So we don't have the two-party system that actually can listen to, like, arguments like that, that can be objective and be like, hey, I can understand why someone who has really, like, strict religious beliefs wouldn't want to pay for someone to have an abortion, wouldn't want their taxpayer, like, their tax-funded money to have an abortion. I can hear that. But the GOP is like, hey, let's close all Planned Parenthoods, which I'm like, that's also equally offensive. That's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
That solves
nothing. Even more. It's right. Radical.
That creates so much more problems.
Sure. And this is coming from a guy.
That Trump signed, and I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you.
Go.
But today's bill that Trump signed where we're going to stop funding birth control alternatives and funding to third world countries. I mean, we're gonna women are going to have abortions. Women are going to have unwanted pregnancies.
Sure.
And I don't mean whether or not I agree with it or not. What I do feel that a woman's body is her own to do what the fuck she wants with it. I don't have any business being up in there.
Sure.
But I also feel like, if somebody wants to do something, they need to do it safely. And
yeah.
And some of these women that we were funding in third world countries and offering help, like Planned Parenthood internationally, this is going to cause a lot of illnesses and even death.
How can you fund shit internationally when you can't even deal with shit nationally?
Well, and I think, to be honest,
and this is coming. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. This is
that's
coming.
Trump's point,
right? Like, yeah,
that's
and this is saying. Coming it's from like, a guy we... that has had. I have been a part of. I got a girl pregnant and had an abortion.
Yeah.
Best decision I ever made in my life for both of us.
Sure.
We talked about it early on in the podcast.
Yeah, long time ago.
Best decision her and I ever made in our entire lives. She's married with a. She has a,
right.
a daughter now. Super happy. I'm where I am.
You're hosting a podcast in the treehouse.
I'm
crushing it.
Yeah, she's happy and married and living her life, and I'm waiting to finish this podcast so I can eat my buffalo chicken burrito.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
I'll just
tell you. Thanks, Planned Parenthood.
I'll just tell you.
You know.
For me, I think that I can look at something like the Women's March and say that was like a beautiful thing. I am pro-life. Like, I just am. And it's a moral compass for me. But I understand that, like, the law is the law, and I would never stigmatize someone or tell someone that they can't or shouldn't do something.
Not true. That's not true. You gave me a fucking wrath of shit when I had my abortion.
Okay.
Well, not you personally.
You said
when I say you can't.
No,
when
you
I
gave,
there's a difference between can and shouldn't. Okay. Now we're getting
you,
heavy.
You
no,
fucking,
I'm gonna sit back.
Let's
there's
go.
A difference.
You guilt trip.
Taking
you,
my cans off.
Listen.
Where's that popcorn? Hey, Tim,
make some popcorn.
Can't and shouldn't are two different words.
Right.
And when you say I gave you shit, I didn't give you shit. I talked to you very objectively and said, hey, listen, these are the consequences for your actions. And I don't think that that's giving you shit. If you interpret it that way, that means that's your conscience talking to you. That's not me talking to you.
You said to me, and I will quote...
Don't quote unless it's direct.
It is direct. I remember I was laying on mom's couch.
Yeah.
And you came into the room and you're like, you shouldn't do this, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Mike, it's happening. There's no way around it.
Right.
Like, I'm not in a good place right now.
Can we give it a context real quick?
Give it a context?
Yes.
What more context do you need? I got a girl pregnant. She wanted to have an abortion.
Let me rewind. This isn't the first thing that's happened in our family this way. Okay. Our older brother, Bobby, he met a girl in AA. Okay, keep this in mind. My brother.
I'm gonna need some salt on that popcorn.
my older brother. My older brother.
Get out of here, Tim.
Did a hit and run DUI, and it was some heavy shit for him at the time. And he was
Him and Tina Silva.
Yeah. Jesus.
Never mind. I'll tell that
story. He was drinking all the time, and he was in trouble. And it was one of those things where he had to go to a substance abuse program, and he met someone, and it was someone that we actually went to high school with.
It was my best friend in high school.
Yeah. So they ended up hooking up, and then they broke off, and then they got back together for a moment, and she got pregnant in the get back together phase. And there was a day where, keep in mind, like, my brother had gone through the substance abuse program. He had paid for his debt to society, I guess you could say, for what he had done. And it was a choice when she got pregnant to either, you know, and like, just for context, they had had a fight the week before where she literally said, "Hey, I hope you fucking die. I never want to see you again, and I hope you fucking die." And then all of a sudden she's right. pregnant.
Yeah.
And so we're getting together a few weeks later at this pizza place, and he says, "Hey, me and this girl, we're having a kid together."
We were at El Torito.
No. We were at the Italian place.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Okay, El Torito. Let's just put it that way. And he said, "Hey, we're all having a kid."
Almost chimichangas on Sunday mornings.
It was a brunch. El Torito brunch.
And it was crazy.
Right there in Diamond Bar, right next to Oak Tree Lanes.
Right? So, yes. Yeah.
I know the facts, motherfucker.
It was crazy and it was heavy. Da-da-da. But afterwards, we all went, okay, cool. As a family, we pulled together right.
And
this will work.
And then I had an abortion and fucked the whole thing up.
No. And if you're taking that way, like.
No, I'm not.
I'm not judging you, man.
Oh, I don't care if you do. Like, you can
judge me. Because we're family and I love you.
Right. No, of course. I love you too. But no, the decision that we made.
Right.
And it was not me. It right. was a we and mostly her that made that decision.
Right.
I said to her 100% once I got the phone call, when she said, "I'm pregnant," I said in my head, I didn't say it out loud, but I was like, fuck. Oh, fuck. But after that was, whatever you want to do, I'm with you 110%. I support any decision that you make. I am here for you. Whatever awesome. You want to do, I will go with you. I will do whatever the fuck needs to be done. Whatever you want, I am with you 110%. That is the man's job.
Yeah, I disagree, man. I agree and disagree.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, I have zero religious principles.
My only disagree is to say that, hey, if you want to make the choice to keep it, I'm here for you, and we can make this work.
Sure.
We will be great parents, and I believe in us.
Oh, you know? I did not believe in that in for a second.
Okay. But I'm saying, like, to me, that was the important part of the conversation.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the whole conversation was had. I mean, it wasn't just like, yeah, I'm pregnant. All right, we'll fucking, I'll pick you up in 20. Let's go fucking knock this thing out.
Right.
Scrape it out of there.
Jesus Christ.
What? Yeah, no, what?
Are you kidding me with that?
No, I'm not. What?
It's how fucking, dare you?
What? Fucking, it is what it is,
Jingles just hit under the pillow.
It is what it is.
Grandma's look, slit her throat.
This was so many years ago.
Goodbye,
like,
Nana.
Goodbye, Nana.
Oh, this is the fucking final Nana podcast.
Holy shit.
Nope, she's okay.
Guys,
okay,
a moment yeah, of silence for right. Nana.
Josh is applying some pressure.
Moment of silence for Nana. Right. But yeah, I mean, it was, we talked about it for multiple days and we had the discussion and we talked about the pros and cons and we weighed it out. A lot of people think that getting an abortion is just like a thing like, I'm pregnant, fuck, let's get rid of it. People think that it's a very impulsive decision. It is not impulsive.
Okay,
to go and get an abortion, you have to go through a lot of shit.
You gave me the distinct impression that it was an impulsive decision. You have to understand, because your conversation with me was, hey man, I need you to keep this secret and not tell anyone. I'm going to get an abortion.
Which you did not do.
No.
You told my very Christian sister, who left a fucking 5-page note on my car.
Right. And so what I'm saying is I understand what you're saying. But listen, so here's what I'm going to tell
you. I love Mike's face. He's like a Mike Bissett bobblehead.
I'm like watching tennis hey, right now.
I'm just saying.
Welcome to Laugh Moves Pretty Fast. It's Mike Bissett bobblehead night.
If you're going to do it and it's right, you don't have to hide it.
It was right. I didn't
then,
hide
cool.
it.
But no, you asked, you made me a part of that. And that's the problem I objected to. Listen, you okay. have to realize you knew how I felt about it. And you said, hey man, keep this a secret for me and don't tell anyone. And I think that was a really shitty thing to do. And because I couldn't talk to anyone about it and you knew I was conflicted about it. And that's the reason you told me. And we're best friends and I love you. But to say like, hey, I'm going to put this huge heavy burden on you and you can't talk to fucking anybody about it is a shitty, selfish thing to do. And in my mindset, I'm like, BJ is acting through a shitty, selfish mindset right now. And he needs someone who can objectively be the counter to what he believes right now.
So you decided to have the Christian sister talk to the atheist brother about religion and how it's God's way.
No, I had the the person who believes...
This is fucking getting heavy.
Yeah.
I'm loving this right now.
We're going. Oh,
I had the person who...
See, I thought we were going like, how about Trump's tweets, huh?
Right, hey.
No, this is
no,
great.
It's here.
I'm
it's
like, I'm just
room.
Waiting like, Mike, whenever you want to come in with that Trump impression.
Nope, not going to do it.
No, I
Mike, your serve.
I had the person who said, you were at the point where you had said, I believe that the abortion is the only way and the right way. And I wanted to have someone who could be on the other side and say, hey, listen, there's also the alternative choice. Right. And I didn't know she would come at you with such like judgment. And I don't to be honest
Get
with you,
the
I
fuck out of here.
No, I'm serious. I did not know. And I don't believe that she did because I read like the majority of what she wrote. I don't think it was judgmental. I think it was, hey, listen, you need to think about your choice. And the thing about you,
it's BJ, not my choice to make. It was hers.
Right. But you right. had the opportunity to say, hey, listen, if you want to keep it, we can make this work. And I asked you if you had done that, and you said, no, I haven't. And so for me, I'm like, she didn't have a choice, man. She didn't have a choice. So, like, that's just it. And we had proven as a family that through those things, we were capable of pulling together and making it work. And right. listen, I don't judge you for your decision. I don't judge her for her decision.
I don't like, regret my
I
decision.
I love you no matter what. And that's sure. great. And that's great. And that's totally your prerogative. And like, I love you no matter what. The key thing is like I said, to anything when you have a huge life decision to make, when you have something that's like going to affect you for the rest of life, you have to hear both sides. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just bringing it all back in, call back. No, like everything that's happening right now, I feel like around us, and in society is people aren't willing to listen. People are only willing to spout, and people are only willing to tell you like the most vile, just spit out their words and spit out their feelings and their hatred or their contempt. And like for me, like I just want you to know, like
let's be honest. I mean,
I'm
most,
sorry
most
if you
of it
hold any
hatred.
Resentment for that. Like,
I don't.
Okay,
it's,
good.
I mean, it's, no, I don't. Like if I did, like it wouldn't be something I would bring up on a podcast that
sure.
However many dozens and dozens of people are going to listen to.
Someone in Ghana, right. for sure. Someone in Ghana is like moved by this.
Yeah, right?
He listens to the show.
He does. He's there every week. Thank you, listener in Ghana.
Still, Michael, thank you for just sitting here and kind of
you
listening
still
to this little banter.
I'm trying to moderate. You guys are doing a great job.
We have asked and we want that listener in Ghana to email us, lmpfpodcast@gmail.com.
Still
email
waiting.
Us. Still waiting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's the one thing that you said that is fucking dead on. Which is, and it's funny because like I've toyed with the idea of just like, oh fuck, why am I on Facebook anymore? Like yep. why?
Sure.
Like it's just, I mean, I blocked our own father.
Uh-oh.
Dude, he's.
I block. I don't even know what he's posted, but when during in the middle of like the heated like, I think it was probably like after like the second debate, every 20 fucking minutes it was fucking Hillary. He kept calling her Hillary, fucking this, Trump, fucking Hillary's a bitch.
It's like when I run into like a San Francisco Giants fan and they like hashtag with beat LA. It's like, okay,
yeah.
come on.
Right.
You can do something
but
better
no,
than that.
Every 20 minutes though, like every
exactly.
20 minutes. So I was
exactly.
just like, finally just like, fucking Christ, like enough. Enough.
Dude, you can love something.
I blocked my own fucking father.
Yeah, but if you're a zealot, I can't talk to you. If you can't hear
And we don't
reason,
even need to talk about dad's past.
No. We're good.
Facebook.
My
show.
Neck is getting sore. I can't we gotta have to save this one for next time.
Bing
bing bong.
We won't do that one. But yeah, no, like I blocked my own dad and I'm just like, fuck, I can't read your shit anymore. Like I'm sorry. And just people are just constantly like, I don't know. It's whatever. Like,
but to me, this the last 10 or so minutes to me has been fascinating because you guys have had a very good conversation. Obviously, you guys are very close. You both obviously yeah. have very strong feelings about it, and you have experience with it, right. which I think is a noble debate. This is something that you both have strong feelings with. You've experienced it, and you're going to talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
Things that don't – and okay. With that being said, I think that does belong in politics. That does belong in let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's have a discussion about it, and let's not just scream, I'm right and you're wrong and you're wrong and I'm right. I think that belongs there. What I don't think belongs in politics is sending your speaker out on day number one to say there were more people than was being reported.
He brought this up earlier. Yeah, that's like, fucking ridiculous.
What I'm with you. Doing? And why are we talking about the ratings of the inauguration?
Because the thing is, and when you said like earlier when we were talking about like what was wrong with John Kasich, what was wrong with Ben Carson, what was wrong with Rand Paul? Like to me, when you and listen. If you're a listener
out there... Ben
Carson
was probably on tranquilizers, let's be honest.
Okay, cool. But what I'm saying is if you're a listener out there and you're like, oh my God, I have so many reasons that why they were wrong, I'll tell you, I genuinely believe the majority of America would take any of those candidates over Donald Trump right now at this point, right?
I would agree.
Okay,
yeah.
Valid. Yeah. So here we go. So now my point to you, what you just said, it's the media spin, man. Like mm-hmm. right now, if you are a person who just isn't paying attention, like legitimately... The media manipulation is just so strong. The reason someone had to come out and say, no, 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 you're absolutely wrong. There was a ton of people there is because the media was saying there wasn't a ton of people there. Oh, look at how much more people you know, were at bombs.
Why aren't we focused on – apparently there was a giant thing about ISIS today.
This is what they do.
Which I didn't even know. And I was off of work today. Yeah. I was on the internet. I didn't even register on my timeline.
And to be honest, I didn't fact check that shit either.
Okay.
On other stories, so it could not even be a story. It could just be a story that someone just planted.
So why
does someone
decide to come out and say, okay, the inauguration, there were some facts. Okay, whatever.
Right.
I'm here to talk to you guys about what happened with ISIS today, right. with right. what's going on in the Middle East.
Right.
President Trump has a plan to do this and this and this. And I'll take questions if anybody has any questions.
And that was the thing they kept saying.
Told five things. Four of them were lies.
Let me ask you. Okay, so and this is what's weird is how much did you pay attention to Obama's press secretary? Like what if you can think of, if you can name me like one of the press secretaries from Obama's administration where you're like, oh, he came out and he did this and what a shitty person for doing this from distracting us from the issues.
The only press secretary that I can name is Allison Janney from The West Wing.
Yes.
Yeah,
which
so
she did a fantastic job. Right.
Again, what I'm saying is day one, though, man. Day one, you're already focused on that. We're focusing on who he's nominating to our cabinet. Oh, he's a white nationalist.
Yeah,
like, these are things that are being brought up that are just meant to make you angry. Just meant to. And cool, that's fine. Listen.
You got to say something. It was a fucking 6-hour long live feed.
I have a number of things that, like, if you wanted to – I know we don't have much time, but I would just say –
Yeah, I had to go like 20 minutes ago, but this is fantastic.
But if you want to talk about the Obama administration and, like, race and, like, the things that happened over the 8 years that he was president, there's a number of things that make me really fucking angry, that make me really pulled apart.
Of course.
As a person that I feel like we're distracting from the issues.
I don't like the fact that Tim has rights as a gay man.
Totally.
Tim, you're waiting on that buttered popcorn. You get your rights back when we get the popcorn, Tim.
What I'm saying is that, like, you just have to realize, man, everything that you're being told, I'm not saying is a lie. I'm saying that it's coded through the message of we have an agenda. And if you don't believe that, I can't have a conversation with you because through the whole electoral process, all I heard was Hillary's going to win by 20 points. Hillary's in a runaway. It's not even going to be close. There's no way he can win.
Did anyone see that celebrity video?
All the celebrities going, Donald Trump's not going to be president.
Like, it's not even.
George Clooney, Donald Trump is not going to be president. Like,
I said it.
And there were edit clips of this show.
You
of
can
us
literally
saying,
election night.
Yeah, of us saying, "Hey, he's up by 20 points, but it's early."
Right.
I mean, we kind of.
Meanwhile, back in reality, he's the fucking president.
Who did you listen to?
Who pushed you to listen to that idea?
Rush Limbaugh.
Who made you stop fighting? Is what I would say. Who made you stop fighting for getting out that message that he shouldn't be fucking president, that Hillary Clinton shouldn't be president, that the two of them as presidential candidates are a joke? Like, who made you stop doing that?
Oh, no, that's a very common common opinion on the podcast.
Yeah,
I
think both of us would be recused from that because I think we both said
both of them are hot garbage.
This is terrible.
Like, absolutely,
like, this is
hot garbage.
This is you know, what's the phrase? Six in one hand, half dozen in the other. Like, this is just
that's the thing with
shit,
like,
either
when you hear, like, the people at the Women's Rights March that are like, Hillary should have been president. I'm like, I don't understand.
No,
she took campaign contributions from countries that literally, like, shit on women, that take physical shits on women that don't want them to have education.
Wait, how much?
That is don't there, want them to drive.
Do we have these? Are these weight? Are these weight shits?
It's Saudi Arabia.
Is this one of these?
Are these weight shits?
Right, Trump pee on them?
Talking about
right. Guys, get off Craigslist.
All right. Okay. All right.
All right. Craigslist. So they don't weigh the shits, but we're in Saudi Arabia.
Craigslist.
What do they eat in Saudi Arabia?
There's one animal.
Rice,
they don't
maybe.
Eat
they eat a lot of rice, cows. So it's got to be like, what's the consistency
possibly
of
chickens.
The shit?
I mean, I don't know.
Chicken,
there's
so
a lot of
chicken,
corn out there.
Chicken and rice corn and
doesn't
corn.
Corn doesn't grow in the sand.
Yeah, but corn doesn't get digested, so that's going to come out. So maybe it's like a watery, corny, so it's like.
So what I'm saying
anyway,
is.
So it's like, it's no. Like, it's like getting a bucket of water dumped on you with an airsoft pellets inside
oh,
of it.
You're talking.
Go
yeah.
on. So it's just like, yeah.
Mike, will you lower the lights for me, please?
Yes. Yes, I will. I'm just saying both of them were terrible. They right. were both terrible candidates. And
right.
the
so,
truth
so,
of the matter
so then where, I mean, Trump is our president right now.
Yeah.
Where are we going? Are we going to run the country on Twitter? Are we going to have a press secretary distract us from what Mike Pence is doing while he's really running the country?
What is
the next 4 years or 4 months, depending on how long this presidency lasts, or 8 years? What's going to happen? What are we doing?
Jesus, are you asking me to be a political strategist who like has predictors? I don't know.
I have no idea either.
I think
this
that
is
we're
a brand,
going to
this
get...
This is the Wild West right now.
We're going to get what he promised that we're going to get.
The one thing
I'll tell you about Trump is I don't think he bullshits. I think that he is a blowhard, and I think that he rattles off a bunch of stuff that sometimes sounds like super racist or mm-hmm. misogynistic. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I don't think he's not a person that follows through.
Somebody said
our wall's going to get built. I think that he think genuinely already at this point. Look, I believe at this point when we're talking about jobs, like if you start really listening and paying attention, like there are people that are excited about bringing jobs back to America. And he is punishing people
well, sure.
who are trying to move jobs outside.
And I
of
hope
the
he starts with his own company, with his ties and his suits and his steel. And, you know, hopefully he brings those jobs back here too.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, like, and I'm not,
that's not his job anymore. That's his son's.
Eric.
Hey, just out of curiosity, did you guys,
the face he just made. Incredible, Eric.
That was stolen.
Did you guys? Life. Did you guys happen to see the tweet from the SNL writer that said that his 10-year-old son is going to be the first ever homeschool shooter?
I did see that tweet. And
holy,
yeah,
shit.
I kind of, you know what? I'm all in favor of saying horrifying things about people who put themselves in the public light. Looking
funny.
At you, Kardashians. Looking at you, Kanye.
Funny.
Looking at you, DJ Trump. But the kid, I'm kind of
DJ Trump. You call him fucking Mr. President. I didn't vote for him.
I'm completely
still...
okay with leaving the kids out of it. You know, whenever
right.
someone would tweet about the Obama girls,
right, yeah,
or
yeah,
even
yeah.
the Bush girls, people
and that
it
has
just
been
didn't
yeah that,
make
that,
a,
that's
it,
been
it didn't
an,
do a whole lot for me.
That's
it
been
was
an
low
ongoing
fruit.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing thing to where it's just like, yeah, you just don't need to fucking do that. Like they're kids, like they don't have a choice. They
you're
don't have a say.
You're
rewatching
The Sopranos again, right?
Oh yeah.
Don't they leave the kids out? Wives and kids kind
wives,
of stay
wives
out of
and
it.
Kids. Although I wish one of them would have fucking whacked AJ because he's a horrible actor.
AJ was pretty bad,
fucking
especially in those
and
earlier seasons.
Even Meadow too. Both of them were just bad actors.
That Meadow Soprano though, man. Oh my god.
When she got the nose job,
so good.
When she got the nose job, yeah, it was all right.
I wouldn't say no.
We're gonna wrap this up. I got one
we
more.
Are. Yeah,
one more
go
small.
Ahead.
One more small topic. All right, we're gonna talk Super Bowl because it just happened today. We got Super Bowl
51
coming up. Atlanta Falcons versus New England Patriots. Who do you got?
You know, I'm kind of torn on this. I would like the state of Georgia has one championship in its history. In major sports.
And that's
the Atlanta Braves
I was
in 1995.
Say with Ray Charles getting back into the Jim Crow Theater, but okay.
That's pretty good. No, the Atlanta Braves, 95. They've had the Atlanta Hawks, the Atlanta Thrashers, the Atlanta Falcons, the Atlanta Braves. And that's it. So I think it would be kind of cool to see them win.
Yeah,
I do, though, really like – as much as I really don't like the Patriots, because they have cheated, because they're always in it, because we're tired of beautiful Tom Brady and
fucking
his gorgeous blue eyes.
Brady in the playoffs.
Hey, Tom. Tom.
Tommy.
Hey, deflate those balls,
Tommy.
Tommy. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, deflate it, bro.
Hey,
Tommy.
Look at the Rams practice tapes.
Hey, look at them tapes. What's Marshall Faulk going to do?
Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk is a cock.
I also...
I fuck Marshall Faulk's cock.
All right.
Down by the harbor. I do love, though, that the Patriots have been in fuck you mode all season. Because
yeah.
they put up with this Deflategate thing.
How the
Tom
fuck?
Goes suspended for 4 games. He comes back, and now they're in the Super Bowl. I would kind of like to see, from just a stand-up-to-the-man perspective, Roger Goodell handing the trophy to Super Bowl MVP Tom Brady. I think that would be pretty outstanding. But that being said, I really want the Falcons to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm with you on the Falcons. I actually made a bet on them before the playoffs started, so I'd win a pretty good amount
that's
of money
pretty,
if they made a run.
Obviously a pretty good bet.
Yeah. And their defense is playing really well right now. And their mm-hmm. offense, everything's
well, they held Green Bay to what, 21
Dude,
points?
They made Aaron Rodgers look like a very mediocre quarterback
for
sure.
Yay for equipment.
Yeah.
This is fun, right?
So yeah,
All right. So anyway, we were saying Falcons.
Falcons. Matt
Ryan. We're hoping for the Falcons.
I would like to see the Falcons win, but I think New England's going to win.
Yeah.
They're on the FU tour.
You just cannot. I don't like Tom Brady. I'm a Peyton Manning fan. You just cannot beat Tom Brady in the playoffs ever, 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 ever. Fucking
you cannot
ever.
Root for them, is what you mean?
What? You can't beat Tom
Brady.
Can't
when you say them. Ever, you mean like excluding the Giants, right?
Unless you're Eli Manning.
Well, I made the joke last week about Ted 2 and jerking off Tom Brady. And I would jerk off Tom Brady and I would get the fucking job done.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
I would get it done. You got to get it done.
There you go.
All right. Now, Super Bowl. My favorite part about Super Bowl are the commercials. My favorite.
Okay,
stand
by.
I'm going to tweak that. Uh-huh. First thing about Super Bowl I love more, Puppy Bowl. Who do you got in the Puppy Bowl?
I got the
Labrador.
You got the Labrador?
Yeah,
good
I'm
call.
The very controversial Beagle this year.
Woo.
I take the Border Collie.
Oh.
All fucking day.
Well, that's the Patriot.
Take
of
the Border
the
Collie.
I think
oh,
Trump
friend.
Would have a problem with the Border Collie.
Really? What would Trump say about that?
We're going to build a wall around the Border Collie. The Border Collie has had an advantage over the Puppy Bowl for the last 20 years. We're not. Okay? Listen, I know Border Collies. I've had Border Collies. I hired Border Collies.
You have all the best Border Collies.
I have all the best.
I have they work in my hotels. They fetch me my Frisbees. But too many Border Collies are here illegally.
Mr. Trump, do the Border Collies have health care? Is
the matter.
Problem.
It doesn't matter. They're going to come to this country. They're going to pay me. They're going to pay me to work at the Puppy Bowl. I like the Schnauzer.
They're going to win bigly.
They're going to win bigly.
The Schnauzer is going to win bigly.
What's a Russian dog? I like that one.
All right. So, yeah.
I had a friend who was very anti-Super Bowl and posted on his Facebook
yeah,
wall.
Which is the most anti-American thing on the planet
okay,
other than the World Series.
Let me just give you the reason because it
or
was ridiculous.
Farmer John.
Farmer John hot dogs. So he, his first... two lines were, let me just tell you about the Super Bowl. You don't need to watch it because... And the next two paragraphs were basically about how it's nothing but corporate greed, that it's two teams playing, and if you really want to know the score, just look at it after, and that you watching the Super Bowl means that you're supporting these huge corporations that are paying millions of dollars to get these commercials, and you are actually eroding American society by doing that.
I don't know that I agree with any of that.
You don't know that you agree with any of that?
That's
Let
that's
me rephrase.
Can you please
I do not agree with any of
can
that.
Can you make it a little bit bolder than that, Michael?
I completely disagree with all of that.
Okay,
a little
let
bit
me
bolder.
Just let's just play a quick
this
game.
Guy's a fucking idiot.
Right, but let's just play a quick game. Let's try and think of it the way that he does. Let's just like
okay.
have like a dialogue where we all believe in that for right. one moment.
All right.
All right, so you play the guy, you play him, you play yeah. your friend. I will be a guy from...
Doritos.
Doritos and you be a guy from Pepsi.
Let's go Coors Light.
Cool. First commercial.
I was going to switch mine to Bud Light, but damn it.
BL Smooth.
Okay, so let's go. All right, so let me tell you why I feel like it's necessary for me to promote Doritos.
It's not.
But why?
But it's not.
Okay, well, you realize that it costs $7 million for me to put up a minute and a half commercial during the Super Bowl. Yep. $7.5 million.
Sure do.
Do you realize why I do that?
Yeah, because you're racist.
Okay, well, no. I'm doing that because actually I want to bring revenue back to my company. So if I put up a $7.5 million ad, hopefully
million people watch.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dorito. Did you have a woman in your commercial?
I did, actually.
There's several beautiful women in the commercial.
Yeah.
Were they of minority descent?
Soleil Moon Frye. I decided to give her some work.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And scene.
And scene. Soleil Moon Frye. How fucking dare you? That's so good.
But no, the reason behind that is like why they have and they spend all this money on the commercials is because they have hundreds of millions of people watching.
150 right. million people watching. 150 will watch this million Super people Bowl, watching. And, you know, Patriots Nation will, I mean, everyone tunes in to watch them.
But what's crazy is you got to think about this for a minute. We are living in the age of like fast forwarding things, right? So even if people, you know, 150 million people watch the season finale of The Bachelor, they're going to fast forward through the commercials because they can. They're just going to DVR. At least, you know, I don't know what percentage, but a good percentage of the people are just going to record it before and fast forward through those commercials.
My argument, but though, is that most people, a lot of people, a very healthy amount of people watch the Super Bowl for the commercials.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but live sports anybody are the last live commercials that you will watch. Right. So they are at a premium.
And people watch the Super Bowl live because that's the one thing. It's one game, one day, and, one shot, 3 o'clock.
I have Super Bowl parties often.
I will be at
my
yours.
Place. You will be at my place, Mike. Of course, you're invited, Tim. Sweet. Stay home. You can entertain Jingles. The party gets quiet during the commercial break.
Yeah.
It's like, shut up, I want to watch this.
When I was
that girl, the Doritos girl is on right now. Right.
So let me try. Punky Brewster. Punky Brewster's on. Everyone shut the fuck up. but that was the thing. And especially when you do, I mean, the big thing about Super Bowl is you do football pools. You know, like
squares,
pick things like what's
everyone
the squares,
food.
What who wins the coin toss? Is it heads or tails? Who gets the first touchdown? The first field goal is blah 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 blah.
Judge Lady but Gaga.
The first thing is one of the things that we always did growing up, Mike. You'll back me up. Is that when we did our football pools, it was always one of the questions was,
what's
the first commercial?
Yeah.
And you would say, is it like clothing? Beer, beverage.
It's always beverage. Fucking beer. It's always
pretty
beer.
Much always
pretty
beer.
Much always beer.
It's always beer.
Yeah.
Who has the best Super Bowl commercials ever of all time?
Budweiser, dude.
God damn it,
fucking
you're right.
Budweiser, man.
That is it.
The Clydesdales.
I kind of agree. The Clydesdales and the frogs. I remember loving the frogs.
The Bud.
Dude, after 9/11, those Clydesdales, like holy shit, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I knew. This sounds weird. This is going to be crazy.
I knew those Clydesdales were Taliban.
When someone talks to me about 9/11, like, I knew I was okay. Jesus, what happened?
That was my...
Treehouse blown really up, guys. Moving on.
That was my Indian horse impression.
Okay. I'll just say, after 9/11, I remember there was two things that made me feel like, okay, things are going to be all right. One was the New York Yankees played baseball again, and they did the national anthem. And then two was when they did that stupid freaking Budweiser Super Bowl commercial with the Clydesdales just like marching into New York, like holy shit. I don't know what it was, but it was
strong.
super strong.
And they took a stance and they have the best, like even when like with the little Clydesdale horse, it's like trying to like going into the barn and trying to like be like the big dog, and he's pulling like a little cart behind him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or the one where like the trainer was like super sad, he's like was waving at him and he thought like, oh, he doesn't recognize me, and then all of a sudden the Clydesdale breaks off and runs down like fucking Broadway in New York.
Meanwhile, I have somewhere in middle America, some guy who's drank too many Budweiser's is hitting his wife.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
thanks, Puerto Ricans.
Jeez, it just got dark. All right. I got two Super Bowl commercials that I absolutely love.
Hell yeah!
And then I gotta go because I had a 45 minute Heart Out
right.
45 minutes ago.
Soleil Moon
the
Frye.
First one was in 1984, and it was the Macintosh commercial, where they actually spoofed the movie 1984, George Orwell, and they had the... It was the very first Macintosh. Obviously, I don't remember it because I was three. But
the only thing I remember about Macintosh is that was the kid's name in Blank Check.
Oh, such a good movie, dude!
God damn it, Shea Stanley.
We should do random it. Reference.
Shea Stanley, God bless her.
Let's do a life's a binge with Blank Check.
Blank Check. Hello, Mr. Macintosh. He had the slide going down from the bedroom. Fucking
okay.
Shit.
Second commercial.
Jesus
Christ.
I'm biased because I'm a huge Volkswagen fan and I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Is when the little boy dressed up as Darth Vader, who's trying to use the Force and be a Sith, and then he looks at the Volkswagen and his dad hits the start button.
His mom.
Parents hit the start button, and the car fires up, and the kid's mind just gets blown. That was my favorite.
That's awesome.
Nice. Commercial. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's
so many good ones.
That's. I mean, your game needs to be fucking stepped up for...
If you're paying $7 million for 30 seconds of airtime, right. You need to have some good writers and some good shit.
So it was like, I kind of get where they were going with like GoDaddy.com when that first came out. It was like Danica Patrick, and it was like...
They love this.
There was some fucking tits. I was like, no.
We can get on our phones and I'll look at TNA right now. I want to see something better than that.
Yeah, make me feel something.
I want the feels. I want the Clydesdales running down Times Square.
Make me feel something through my chicken wings. All right. Well.
All right. I gotta go.
Yeah,
Mike,
yeah.
I could talk to you for an hour and a half though. Dude, an hour and a half more. Yeah.
This has been an interesting one.
It's been a doozy. Little Latin loopy loo.
Latin loopy loo.
Tim won't approve of the length, but you know it's okay.
Still need that popcorn, Tim.
looking for my kettle corn.
Just want to say to both of you, it was awesome being here.
It was a pleasure.
Dude, it was fun. Yeah, long time coming. Thank you so much, dude. Brother, I can't fucking tell you how much I'm so happy that you're home.
Love you to death.
All right.
So Mike's gonna go home and rearrange shit. And
I got furniture to rearrange.
Me and you're gonna have some drinks and talk about you fucking my ex-girlfriend. All right, everyone, this has been another episode of Life Moves Pretty Fast. I am BJ McGivley. True
Mike
story.
Mike missed it. I'm leaving. I can't do this anymore. My neck hurts.
We'll see y'all next week.